St. Matthew intends to encourage and to nurture full steps in faith within the community of faith. Today, upon this Boston University Alumni Weekend Sunday, we remember and affirm that Marsh Chapel is one such community of faith, a precious jewel, a rare breed, a novel venture, an open window. Your community, yours. In Matthew 20, in the vineyard, our parable represents the undifferentiated rewards of the kingdom of God. The parable affirms divine generosity and inscrutable divine goodness and generosity. Its point, behold, the divine generosity, do not begrudge the divine generosity. Its point, justice and equality are not the same thing. Justice and equality are not the same thing. Consider this parable found only in Matthew. All the workers are paid the same. As in life, so here in Scripture, there is no sure, consistent equality. To be sure, the landowner has paid what he agreed to pay. To be sure, hour by hour, the workers have received what they agreed to receive. To be sure, the daily needs of all for the day to come are met, from each according to his stamina and to each according to his needs. To be sure, the added proverb about last becoming first and first last fits the parable somewhat awkwardly, if at all. The parable acclaims God's bounteous generosity, not God's impartial equality. Justice and equality are not the same thing. When a job truly fit and meant for you goes to another on a shaky or unjust premise or process, you know the feeling of the early workers. When an illness, unearned and unexpected, afflicts your loved one, you know the feeling of those working among the grapes and feeling the grapes of wrath. When a day begins and ends, as an existential illustration of Shakespeare's 66th sonnet, you know the resentment addressed in the story from Matthew 21-16. Here in the vineyard, the undeniable difference between equality and justice faces us, as it did Jesus, Matthew, and the rabbis and others. Jesus, loving the Am Haaretz, the poor of the land, may have been telling the Pharisees to broaden their embrace. Matthew, among Jews and Gentiles, Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, may have been admonishing the former to honor the latter. The rabbis in the same period used the same story, but added by way of explication that the later workers did in 2 hours what took the earlier ones all day. Very dubious, that. Our landowner, through Matthew's rendering, is called an oikodespotes, a person of some power. The allegory is clear. God is obliged to nobody. Further, the timing of God's grace and generosity is God's own affair, only without prejudice either to the earlier or the latter. In this way, Matthew concurs with Paul in 1 Thessalonians and elsewhere that the living will not precede the dead in the hour of judgment. Our parable does not rely on the famous passage from Exodus 16 read a moment ago. This, too, is a passage we should know and know about, by the way. Yet the acclamation of divine generosity in both is the same. Evening comes and morning, and in the morning there is a sweet hoarfrost covering all the ground, a layer of dew under which is manna from heaven, the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Here in the vineyard, we have again to ponder the labor at the heart of life and the labor at the heart of faith. Faith comes by hearing, but it is an active, employed listening that allows for that hearing. Faith is a gift, but is a gift like any other that requires receipt and response and embrace and maybe a thank you note or two, too. If faith comes by hearing, it helps if you are in earshot, in worship. Faith comes as a gift at the time of God's own choosing. But to labor and live in faith requires of us a steady, even fruitful practice of faith. Daily prayer or quiet. Sunday worship or devotion. Tithing or disciplined percentage giving. Choosing to serve or to volunteer. This is what Paul is driving at in his letter to the Philippians. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. I wonder about us. I wonder about you. I wonder about me. Has the unfailing light and love of divine generosity worked on us at all this past week? Are we better people than we were last Sunday? Have we heeded John Calvin on this parable? We may also gather that our whole life is useless and we are justly condemned of laziness until we frame our life to the command and calling of God. From this it follows that they labor in vain who thoughtlessly take up this or that kind of life and do not wait for God's calling. Finally, we may also infer from Christ's words that only they are pleasing to God who work for the advantage of their brethren. Our scripture lessons explore the rigors of community by acclaiming the generosity of God, and every community is a source of endless contention and intractable difference. The very rigors of assembling a couple of hundred people on a Sunday morning for an hour of devotion itself brings rigors. Yet here you are, and here we are, together, just for a moment. God is good. We come into and to worship with a heartfelt desire to grow in faith, to walk in faith, to grow in faith as we walk in faith. And one step in faith, is to find a congregational family to love and a congregational home to enjoy. And to some measure, each of you, each of us, has so found that here in Marsh Chapel. For others, this may be a moment when one has an inkling that this is your community, your congregational home, not only to visit, but also to inhabit. Notice the habit. In inhabit. In the great and long and happy shadow of divine generosity announced in Holy Scripture today, we step forward together in a growing faith to notice around and about us the particular aspects of divine generosity afforded us in this chapel. Here are some things you may or may not know about your community. Marsh Chapel is a distinctive community, a congregation of souls, a chapel, not a church, with the various differences and similarities so named, a congregation laden with hopes, tasks, plans, and goals, all of which are steadily in motion. We have hopes. In 2025, we will celebrate the 75th anniversary of the building of Marsh Chapel, dedicated in March 1950, and we lean forward with hope. We hope then also to celebrate a full or partial completion of the endowment of the deanship of Marsh Chapel. We hope then also to celebrate the full physical refurbishment of the building, Marsh Chapel. We hope then also to celebrate the many hundreds of students who have heard a calling or entered or continue down the path of ministry with support and guidance of Marsh Chapel 2006-2024. We hope by then also to continue to show increase in our virtual community, audio and video both, on live stream, telephone, internet, podcast, blog, all. As we move forward, we hope then also to continue to welcome a growing number of students each week into the worshipful ministry of Marsh Chapel each and every week of the school year. We hope also to encourage our congregants, students, chapter members, and affiliates to volunteer weekly in a form of direct service to a neighbor in need. These are aspects of our shared faith and hope to do all the good we can in our brief time of stewardship, ministry, and service. All of these hopes rest on a vision, global vision, a conviction that the world is our parish and that we serve a university, Boston University, that is in the world and for the world, with a long-standing history of outreach and engagement in the heart of the city and in the service of the city. That is Marsh Chapel, Boston University. Our focus will continue to become ever more global. We shall retain our envisioned vision and mission without redaction, but with the weight and sense shifting a bit. A heart in the heart of the city, a service in the service of the city, meaning a heart in the heart of the global city, a service in the service of the global city. The scripture teaches us at the very conclusion of the full gospel of Matthew, as you go, make of all disciples. And so we do so hope, and we hope to serve God in these hours and years, God and neighbor, and be of service to our university as well through Sunday worship excellence, all university events, ceremonial leadership, pastoral care at death, astute oversight of university religious life ministry program and presence, and perhaps the hardest, ongoing exemplary embodiment of the university identity in its history and hope. These are our tasks, the work that your prayers, presence, gifts, and service afford the university in which we dwell and for which we labor. We also have plans. A heart in the heart of the city and a service in the service of the city, said President Emmanuel Merlin. Our foci guiding this envisioned mission, our voice and vocation and volume. And we happily take our lead from the new refreshed Boston University plan, especially its own fivefold foci: academics, research, globality, diversity, community. And we have our own renderings of such. In fact, the university plan seems deeply rooted in the very heart of Marsh Chapel itself. In weekly work, in staffing and strategy, in the warp and woof of shared ministry, we offer our gifts through a leading academic university pulpit, through music, choral, and instrumental that carries an experimental, in that way, a research dimension, through particular attention to the 26% of our student body who are international students, through decades deep and daily in commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And finally and mainly to the ongoing sharing of the gifts of belonging and community, belonging in community, which religious life, including the Sunday congregation, offer with warm welcome and earnest outreach. A couple of years ago, a friend was ordained as a rabbi, and some of us were graciously included in the service. Throughout the service, the power of trusted voices and people stood out. The one ordained said, "For over 30 years, I've been in a lifelong love affair with my faith, seeking a substantive connection to our tradition and a close and meaningful relationship with God." Close, meaningful. These are the relationships that bring out our own most selves. Steps in faith, nurtured by a community of faith, nurtured in this community of faith, are meant to bring out, to bring forward your best self, your true self, your own most self. And the old story holds. God's divine generosity desires and affirms your life lived as your own most self, not your almost self. As your own most self, not your almost self. The divine question is not, why are you not more like Jane or John or Mary or Mark? But why are you not more
like you.
There is only one you. And in community, step by step, in faith, we are given time, grace, and support to become ourselves, our very own most selves. Hear the gospel. St. Matthew intends to encourage and nurture full steps in faith within the community of faith, perhaps beginning for you this day, this morning in community. Today we affirm and remember that Marsh Chapel is a community of faith, one such, our community of faith. And with glad hearts, we give ourselves over to the joyful service of living that faith, living our faith together, step by step, here and now. That is, we receive the divine generosity of Almighty God and give ourselves over to the joyful service of faith. Amen.